जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी तीरा वनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
Shishi Radha Madhava Ashta Sakhi Ki Jai, Shishi Narsingadev Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai, Shishi Pancha Tattva Bhagwan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. My obeisances to all the devotees. Today we shall be reading from Canto 8, chapter number 10, titled The Battle Between the Demigods and Demons. And we shall be reciting together text number 40, although the section that I'm asked to cover is from text 39 to 57. So text number 40. Kabandha tatra cho utpetu patita swa Shiro Akshibhihi Udyata Ayudha Dordande Adhavanta Bhatan Nidhe Kabandhas Tatra Chodpetu Patita sva shiro akshibhihi Utyata ayutha dordander Adhavanto bhatanmrithe Kabandhas tatra chotpetuhu Patitsva shiro akshibhihi Utyata ayudha dordander Adhavanto bhatan mridhe Kabandhas tatra chotpetuhu Patitasva shiro akshibhihi Utyata ayutha dordande Adhavanto bhatan mridhe
Adhavanto bhatan mridhe
Mataji's, ladies. Kabandaha, trunks, bodies without heads. Tatra, there, on the battlefield. Cha, also. Utpetuhu, generated. Patita, fallen. Swashiraha, akshibhi. Swashiraha akshibhi. By the eyes, in one's head. Udyata, raised. Ayudha, equipped with weapons. Dordandehe, the arms of whom. Adhavantaha, rushing toward. Bhatan, the soldiers. Mridhe, on the battlefield. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Many headless trunks were generated on that battlefield. With weapons in their arms, those ghostly trunks, which could see with the eyes in the fallen heads, attacked the enemy soldiers. Purport. It appears that the heroes who died on the battlefield immediately became ghosts, and although their heads had been severed from their bodies, new trunks were generated. And these new trunks, seeing with the eyes in the severed heads, began to attack the enemy. In other words, many ghosts were generated to join the fight. And thus, new trunks appeared on the battlefield. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate karim yat kripaha tam ham vande shri guru dina tarine Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is a fierce section of the Bhagavatam where a fierce battle is going on. And today, because we have to cover from verse number 39 to 57, what we'll try to do together is to first go through the complete section of the verses along with the translations primarily. Before we begin reciting the verses or the translations, which I shall recite for you, I'd like to set the context again. So we are in the 8th canto. The chapter now is battle between the demigods and demons. What has just happened in the last chapter is the pot of nectar was stolen away from the demons and given by the lordship to the devatas. And having been mistreated like this, in their view, they felt cheated, they felt very angry, and they saw the jubilation amongst the devatas. And out of that anger and envy, they start another battle. So currently, we're in the section of the second battle within the eighth canto. One battle happened previously. Now the second battle is going on, and another one will come after a few chapters. So, as you must have heard already, we heard from Jananivas Prabhu, we heard from Ikshvaku Prabhu, and also Keshavi Mataji. They actually started reciting these very, very fierce verses, and we're in the middle of those fierce verses. Extremely ghastly. And in the text number 5th of this chapter, there is a word used. The word uses Roma Harshanaha. The literal translation there says that how the fighting was so terrible that simply hearing about it would make the hair on one's body stand on end. Roma Harshanaha. Stand on end. So, while we may not be able to bring all the audio-visual effects in this recitation, but let's just see, just by simply hearing Bhagavatam as it is, from verse number 39 to 57, do our hair really stand at end or not? Verse number 40, as one of the devotees said, is far out. The one that we just recited the translation. So I'll start with 39. And I'll go through the translations in the interest of time. In the course of the battle, the war field became strewn with the severed heads of heroes. Their eyes still staring and their teeth still pressed against their lips in anger. Helmets and earrings were scattered from their severed heads. Similarly, many arms decorated with ornaments and clutching various weapons were striven here and there, as were many legs and thighs which resembled the trunks of elephants. So clearly, this section is not for the faint-hearted. If you have any apathy towards blood, etc., this is fierce. Text 40, I repeat again. Many headless trunks were generated on that battlefield with weapons in their arms. Those ghostly trunks which could see with the eyes in the fallen heads attacked the enemy soldiers. And Prabhupada described that these are ghostly forms. 41. Maharaj Bali then attacked Indra with 10 arrows and attacked Airavata, Indra's carrier elephant, with 3 arrows. With 4 arrows, he attacked the 4 horsemen guarding Airavata's legs, and with 1 arrow, he attacked the driver of the elephant. Purport: the word Vahana refers to the soldiers on horseback who protected the legs of the carrier elephants. According to the system of military arrangement, the legs of the elephant bearing the commander were also protected. Before Bali Maharaj's arrows could reach him, Indra, king of heaven, who is expert in dealing with arrows, smiled and counteracted the arrows with arrows of another type, known as bhala, which were extremely sharp. When Bali Maharaj saw the expert military activities of Indra, he could not restrain his anger. Thus he took up another weapon known as Shakti, which blazed like a great firebrand, but Indra cut that weapon to pieces while it was still in Bali's hand. And you can imagine how that must have made Bali feel. He did not even release the weapon, and Indra very expertly just cut the weapon in his hand. And we can notice as the verses progress, the anger is increasing. Thereafter, one by one, Bali Maharaj used a lance, prasa, tomara, rishtis, and other weapons. But whatever weapons he took up, Indra immediately cut them to pieces. My dear king, Bali Maharaj then disappeared and resorted to demoniac illusions. A giant mountain generated from illusion then appeared above the heads of the demigod soldiers. From that mountain fell trees blazing in a forest fire, chips of stone, the sharp edges like picks also fell and smashed the heads of the demigod soldiers. So while the word illusion is used, it doesn't mean like the magic and illusion we see where there is no effect. It's only an optical illusion. Rather here, it's fairly clear that there were people who were dying. It wasn't just an optical illusion. This was a different kind of an illusion. Scorpions, large snakes, and many other poisonous animals, as well as lions, tigers, boars, and great elephants, all began falling upon the demigod soldiers, crushing everything. O my king, many hundreds of male and female carnivorous demons, completely naked and carrying tridents in their hands, then appeared, crying the slogans, "Cut them to pieces, pierce them." Fierce clouds, harassed by strong winds, then appeared in the sky, rumbling very gravely with the sound of thunder. They began to shower live coals. Live coals here refers to embers. Burning coal. A great devastating fire created by Bali Maharaj began burning all the soldiers of the demigods. This fire, accompanied by blasting winds, seemed as terrible as the Samvartaka fire, which appears at the time of dissolution. Thereafter, whirlpools and sea waves agitated by fierce blasts of wind appeared everywhere, before everyone's vision in a furious flood. It's evident that practically all elements of nature were being utilized expertly by the demons headed by Bali Maharaj to cause this attack upon the devatas. While this magical atmosphere in the fight was being created by the invisible demons who were expert in such illusions, the soldiers of the demigods became morose. O king, now is the turning point, an important and a very significant turning point, because when we'll discuss the verse, I'll highlight that this happens to be the main purpose. O king, when the demigods could find no way to counteract the activities of the demons, they wholeheartedly meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the universe, who then immediately appeared. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes resemble the petals of a newly blossomed lotus, sat on the back of Garuda, spreading his lotus feet over Garuda's shoulders. Dressed in yellow, decorated by the Kastuba gem and the goddess of fortune, and wearing an invaluable helmet and earrings, the Supreme Lord, holding various weapons in his eight hands, became visible to the demigods. As the dangers of a dream cease when the dreamer awakens, The illusions created by the jugglery of the demons were vanquished by the transcendental prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as he entered the battlefield. Indeed, simply by remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from all dangers. O King, when the demon Kalanemi, who was carried by a lion, saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead carried by Garuda was on the battlefield, the demon immediately took his trident, whirled it, and discharged it at Garuda's head. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the master of the three worlds, immediately caught the trident. And with the very same weapon, he killed the enemy, Kalanemi, along with his carrier, the lion. Purport: in this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Kalanemi adaya sarve karina nihata api shukreno jivita santaha punastene vapatitaha. Kalanemi and all the other demons were killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, and when Shukracharya, their spiritual master, brought them back to life, they were again killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thereafter, two very powerful demons named Mali and Sumali were killed by the Supreme Lord, who severed their heads with his disc. Then Malyavan, another demon, attacked the Lord. With his sharp club, the demon, who was roaring like a lion, attacked Garuda, the Lord of the birds, who are born from eggs. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, used his disc to cut off the head of that enemy also. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Battle Between the Demigods and Demons. Often in the matter of preaching, or when you talk to some people, a question arises. That is, why is there so much bloodshed, battle mentioned in the scriptures? Should they not be talking about peaceful demeanor? Why is there so much battle? Often people criticize even the Bhagavad Gita by saying, oh, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight. This fighting between the good and the evil has been going on eternally for a very, very long time. This particular chapter is even titled The Battle Between the Demigods and the Demons. Here, of course, we understand the demons represent the evil and the demigods represent the good. As I mentioned previously, these fierce battles are mentioned in many, many occasions. In the 8th canto itself, there are three battles described. Then, if you go a little bit backwards, you see the 4th canto. And I'm only picking on the battles which are of a similar nature and fierceness that is described in this section of Bhagavatam. You would recall, such pictures appeared in the mind and on the battlefield when there was Daksha Yagya. When the soldiers who were supporting Lord Shiva came to the Yagya, and very fierce. Subsequently, in the same canto, we also witness the battle that Dhruva carried out against the Yakshas. Again, extremely fierce. Extremely fierce. And then there is the most famous battle of Kurukshetra. Again, very fierce, right? So when somebody claims there are so many battles, etc., it's a natural question. Why is there so many battles? Well, we witness battles everywhere. We are witnessing now in Srimad Bhagavatam an interplanetary battle. There are residents of different planetary systems and they're fighting amongst each other, interplanetary. Then we know there are battles which are intraplanetary, on the same planet, between countries. You heard of fights within countries. We've heard of fights within states, within a state, between states. We've heard of fights and battles within a town and village. And if you know where I'm heading to, we've heard of battles within family. Fights, disagreements between family members. And of course, there is also a battle that we all have within ourselves. Within ourselves also, we're going through a battle. So all of these battles that are happening, how are they at all relevant? How are they relevant to devotees of Krishna who are seeking a very, very peaceful attitude? Is a question that we'll try to address today. Is it at all relevant? Well, one way to address it is that yes, devotees, practicing devotees specifically, are not devoid of battles. We ourselves have our struggles, reversals, situations, disagreements. And we don't have to look too far. Everywhere we find that. Within our own family, within our own self, within our own family, within our community. We find that. It does exist. So it is relevant. Now, why do they arise? In order to understand this whole concept of battle, why do they really arise? For this, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has helped us understand this right at the beginning of this chapter. Right at the upfront, he says, because of envy, the fight between the demons and the demigods continued. Because of envy. And as long as we have envy, this is valid for all of us as well who are practicing devotees. Amongst practicing devotees, they arise whenever we are not being nourished properly by our practice of Krishna consciousness. If we were to reflect within ourselves, we will observe typically these troubles which cause us despair arise when we are not getting adequate nourishment from the practice of Krishna consciousness. That's when we get into despair. We get into a mentality of fault finding amongst others when we're not practicing ourselves properly. Because then that envy, which we've not been able to extricate completely, starts to come to surface. I personally witnessed this, and not very far back, just 3 days back, I witnessed a similar situation. Sometimes in the matter of service, I have certain services which do not allow me to take shelter of Bhagavatam regularly. And I was at a receiving end of such a disagreement, a fairly vicious one, very disturbing. And I was getting into despair, very disturbed. And thankfully, by the mercy of Sri Panchatattva, on that very day, I received a call from His Grace Pada Padma Prabhu, and he said, would you like to do the service for Bhagavatam 3 days from now? And the moment I picked up Bhagavatam and the section that I had to deliver, Srila Prabhupada very kindly just opened it all up. It opened it all up. So I wasn't trying to claim that I am the devata, the good one, or the other person is the bad one. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is that my personal shelter of Bhagavatam was getting distance. And by this kind reminder, I was able to engage in the service of Bhagavatam. And quickly, magically enough, just by taking shelter of Bhagavatam, once again, the despair was dispelled. And I felt encouraged. So I'm really thankful for this service. Now when these unpleasant situations do arise, and I'm moving from battle to unpleasant situations, because in the lives of devotees we're not necessarily throwing arrows at each other, nuclear weapons, hopefully not even slapping each other. I mean, there is no dwanda, none of that. But unpleasant, is there any merit in these unpleasant situations? If you were to look at bigger unpleasant situations, Lord Krishna says, He appears paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He explains, He will come. Then He also explains in Bhagavatam, etacham shakalapumsa krishnastu bhagwan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge. He will appear. So one is that yes, when these unpleasant situations arise, there is a possibility of Krishna to appear. There is a possibility Krishna will appear in the lives of devotees. When we were to, the merit that we have in studying about these topics from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'm going to make a proposal. My proposal is, and I've written it down, that if we were to apply our mind and intelligence to the battles that are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam with full Krishna consciousness, then it will bring an end to all battles of this world. I repeat, if we were to sincerely apply our mind and intelligence to study the content, the context and the instructions Srila Prabhupada gives to the descriptions of battles that are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, then it will bring an end to all the battles that exist in this world. If you were to apply it at an individual level, then our individual battles will come to an end. If we were to apply it together as a family, take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and understand this section, it will become evident to us how foolish we are to let our envy, pride come in between and cause these battles. And as Prabhupada said, if eventually more and more leaders of this world to actually study and take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the process of Krishna consciousness, then all battles of this world will come to an end. Srila Prabhupada said that will be the true United Nations that can be established. So that's the proposal I make. Why? Because these battles give us many, many instructions to progress in the process of Krishna consciousness if we were to sincerely study them. Many, many instructions. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I'll take all the references that I took previously. The most beautiful song of God, Bhagavad Gita, was spoken there, filled with immense instructions to purify and perfect our life. If you were to refer to the battle that happened between Dhruva and the Yakshas, so many instructions came out. And the only turning point, just like here, there is similarity in this battle and that, there was a turning point. There was a turning point at the end when the Brahmanas come and they tell Dhruva, take shelter of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they give him a hint of Narayana. And then Dhruva remembers Narayana, Astra. And then he chants the holy name. So they give instruction. There are also very valuable instructions given in that section where Indira describes how a three-point formula, if you practice three things, then the whole world can become peaceful, especially yourself. And he gives how you should relate to devotees who are subordinate to you, how you should relate to devotees who are peers, and how you should relate to devotees who are superior to you. Very beautiful instructions are given there. Similarly, if you take the Daksha Yajna, again so many instructions are given. And I'll come back very quickly to what instructions we can draw from this section of the verses. The second understanding that I like to share with you as to the advantage, what do the battles give us? They clearly demonstrate the love Krishna, Lord Krishna has for his devotees. He does not leave his devotees under any circumstances. In some cases, he even breaks his vow, like he did on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And in other cases, he keeps his vow by appearing when his devotees really require his help. He does not leave them. So that, I feel, is another very, very significant beauty that comes out of these battles. Let's take the example of Dhruva, where he had given a vow to Dhruva that you will live for 36,000 years. And when Uttama was killed, his mother was killed in the forest fire. Dhruva goes to fight. He was about to be killed. But then the Lord comes to protect. And I like to share with you or ask you or impress upon you that there is a vow. There is a vow that the Lord is trying to fulfill even in this section of Bhagavatam. Would you like to mention what is that vow he's trying to fulfill? Name bhakta prayaneshati. And which bhakta did he give this vow to? Many millenniums back, the Lord who resides downstairs here, Lord Narsingadev, gave a vow to Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad was requesting, can you liberate my father? Can you please take care of my father? Lord Narsingadev said, what to say of your father, Prahlad? Many generations behind and many generations in front, I shall take care of them. And through this section, this beautiful section of this fierce fight between the king of demons called Bali Maharaj and the Devatas, the Lord will eventually come back and fulfill his vow to give shelter to Bali Maharaj. And that's the vow he's trying to fulfill. It appears fierce, you see. That's the beauty of it. It all appears very fierce. In the beginning it perplexes our mind, our hair stand at end. And we don't know what's going to happen. Right? But it does come to that fruitful conclusion. That's why these incidents are mentioned in Bhagavatam. They have a place in Bhagavatam because the Lord is fulfilling his promise to his devotees. And this was no ordinary person, Bali Maharaj. No ordinary person. The grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Virochana. And the Lord comes. And what he performs eventually, and you will see through his conduct in the past you've seen, when he accepted, no problem, I'll churn the nectar with you. The demons will do it. And you'll see also in the front, he demonstrates from his conduct, he's not so envious. And then in the end, he'll perform a surrender. Not an ordinary surrender, the full surrender. Atmanivedanam, for which he's glorified for eternity. So when we talk about devotees and the performance of devotional service, Bali Maharaj comes as the example for Atmanivedanam. So that is the vow that Lord is trying to fulfill here through the battles. When the reversals arise, we talked about so far in the lives of practicing bhaktas. But they also arise in the lives of pure devotees. And a question may arise, how are we supposed to witness that? How are we supposed to understand that? What is the purpose that the Lord is trying to fulfill to the lives of pure devotees? And here, we must immediately think about His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. You could all recount so many tribulations that Srila Prabhupada went through. So many. Going on a freight ship. He lives with bums in a bowery. His life is threatened on few occasions. Any other tribulations that you like to point out that Prabhupada went through? From an external perspective, all the tribulations that he went through? Prabhu? Try to establish Krishna consciousness in India, yes. What other tribulations you remember from Leelamrita and the writings of other disciples? He had heart attacks. What else? Heart stroke. I'm sure it's a long list. We can glorify through those tribulations, we can glorify Prabhupada for a long time. Long time. Went through so much. But then the Lord in such circumstances, when the pure devotees of Lord are faced with such circumstances which appear as tribulations, fights, battles, He's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us through the example of a life of a founder, Acharya, as to how always take full surrender and shelter in the lotus feet of Krishna. Very much like Bali Maharaj did. Very different circumstances, but similar mood. Srila Prabhupada was an unalloyed devotee of Krishna. And Krishna never leaves their heart. Krishna says, described in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santah Sadeva Hidayeshu Vilokayanti Yamashama Sundara Machinta Gunaswarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Shyam Sundar always resides in the heart of these unalloyed devotees whose eyes are tainted with the salve of love. Always He resides. And Prabhu, even if there is a heart stroke, from the autobiographical accounts we understand that even though Prabhupada was going through these heart strokes, he was seeing Krishna. Krishna never left. There are so many instances from the accounts we can hear that Krishna would be personally present with Srila Prabhupada. So that's what we can understand from the lives of pure devotees. Now, coming back to the demigods, what really happened here? Some terminologies that are used, and they may be incorrect, so please forgive me if I'm saying something wrong. Sakama bhaktas, the nature of the demigods is those who approach the Supreme Lord when there is a need. And when their need is fulfilled, they sort of withdraw into their own world, their own activities. You'll find it interesting to note that in this chapter, the Lord very quickly appears and disappears. In fact, the words that are used by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and also some cases Srila Prabhupada, appear, disappear, visible, invisible. While in the life of a pure devotee, the Lord never disappears. He's always present, as we heard from Brahma Samhita and we witnessed from the life of Srila Prabhupada. But those who are Sakama Bhaktas, who are seeking the shelter of the Lord for a certain purpose, to fulfill their desires, the Lord appears when they pray, when they seek the shelter, and when such people start looking at other shelters in the form of opulence, strength, and all that the world has to offer, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes invisible. We should not ever think that the Lord goes away. He's always present. He simply becomes unmanifested to the eyes which are not tainted with love of Godhead. So what lesson can we draw from this? We should not seek other shelters in the form of opulences that this world offers. There is no point. In verse number 55, which I mentioned that we like to come back to, Prabhupada says in the translation, as the dangers of a dream cease when the dreamer awakens, the illusions created by the jugglery of the demons were vanquished. Srila Prabhupada often said, this world, our life, is like a dream. He used the word phantasmagoria. It's like a dream. He said, our time in this material world is the dreamlike state, much similar to what is being mentioned here. So just like the demons were awakened, the demons were awakened from the state of dream by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada encouraged all of us, we should shake ourselves out of this dream. Become true members of ISKCON. And he called ISKCON International Society for Krishna Consciousness. words he very choicefully used. Krishna consciousness, a society that offers us an opportunity to be 24 hours Krishna conscious. And by being 24 hours Krishna conscious, we can protect ourselves from the dreamlike state. So I pray that all of us can overcome this dream, and I pray your blessings that I can first myself overcome from this dreamlike state by taking true shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I like to request many, many senior Vaishnavas are here, Vaishnavis are here, to please share some of your thoughts and comments on this section of Bhagavatam. Yes, please. Is there a mic that can be given? Okay. Mataji, there are other devotees hearing on the internet, so if you can please speak on the mic.
Hare Krishna, it was a very beautiful class just now. I'm truly blessed to have you here. And my ability is to see devotees at the back. Please forgive me for taking such a liberty to command in such a, in this congregation. Well, actually, this is from my true experience life, how Krishna actually, giving his mercy through Krishna and through Guru, actually, through Srila Prabhupada and all the senior Vaishnavas. I'd just like to quote a few things, in this chapter, like last week, we've been talking about this astrology thing, karma, all this about demigods thing, Saturn and all those things. Through my experience, I'm telling you, Srila Prabhupada clearly stated, in one of his classes that never ever take shelter of all this astrology, all these, certain things, because I remember reading it, because once there is one astrology guy, he was telling, one devotee went to him, you know what he said? He said, devotees should not come to me because they get the direct mercy from Krishna, from Guru. They will get it, because because I don't want to offend the Mataji, she was giving class the other day, she's Kaunteya Prabhu's wife. Well, actually, the moment you sit in this Vyasasana, we should be actually propagating Krishna consciousness, Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharmas, we should not claim ourselves as astrologer. That is very wrong, because we are empowered. I'm not empowered. Srila Prabhupada actually, he did such a tremendous work for all of us as devotees to follow his footsteps. Acharya's teaching, that is sufficient enough. Don't take shelter of all these demigods, all these astrologers. They're no use, because I remember in one class way back in 1970, this one Western disciple was asking Srila Prabhupada, just one thing Prabhupada answered very, very quickly. It's like this. The disciple will ask him, Prabhupada, how to surrender, how to actually take away all my sins? Prabhupada said, just 1 minute. You know what is that? Sarva dharmam parijacha mam ekam saranam varja aham tom sarva papebhyo moksha shishami masacha. Just surrender. Surrender to the lotus feet. And also surrender to the lotus feet of your guru, Krishna, Acharya, the parampara, who actually connecting you to, straight to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to the world to deliver the love of God. We have all the nectar here. One more thing, through my experience, when I leave Mayapur 16 years back, all the saintly, Rupa Manjaris, for example, Pangajangli Prabhu, all the senior disciples, all the sannyasis, when I leave Mayapur 16 years back, I got the blessings from Pankajangni Prabhu. He gave the garland, Maha garland of Nityananda Prabhu. When I leave Mayapur, I got it. And one more Maha, I got it from Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj. His garland, I got it. And the moment I left Mayapur, I was preaching alone, practicing Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I go to temple sometimes, but I have very good connections with sannyasis.
Mataji, can you be a little bit brief so that other devotees can?
What I'm trying to say is, take shelter of senior Vaishnavas here in the Holy Dham. go and seek for the advice. They will guide you nicely what to do. Because you know what they say in my life? They say, Satan starting this year for me, 7 years. I was laughing, come on.
Thank you.
I'm in the shelter
so
of
we
Krishna.
Should all take shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Thank you so much.
And Krishna. This is my true experience of life, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
I'm very happy to be Krishna conscious and I want everybody to be Krishna conscious 100%. Not like, you know, it's like, no. 100% means...
Thank you so much for sharing. Would you allow me to come back so that I can ask other devotees for their comments? Sure. While you look for it, I'll take some other comments from other senior Vaishnavas. Prabhus, Pankajangri Prabhu, Jaranivas Prabhu, Rajendra Nandan Prabhu. If anything you'd like to share on this. Are there any... Yes, please.
Thank you very much. I love the point that you made that the Lord may be invisible, but He's always present with everyone, what to speak of His unalloyed devotees. For mixed devotees, He may come and give His mercy in the form of chump change or some temporary benefit, but for His real true devotees, He is always there for them.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Are there any questions? We'll just take one question before it strikes time. Any other questions? Hari Leela Prabhu. Prabhu, keep it a very easy one because coming from you, I'm just... I'm a little worried already. But anyways, thankfully there are other Vaishnavas here. So.
Thank you for a very nice class. I mean, it was really enlightening class. I heard a lot of things which is very relevant for me, especially the battle within and how to overcome the battle within. On this context, my question is that, especially being in managerial situations and when we have to take decisions which are sometimes pleasant, sometimes not so pleasant, how do we continuously seek shelter of Bhagavatam, and how can we be sure that sometimes I'm never sure what I'm doing is right or wrong, you know. How can we be sure or what can we do?
Me too. Even I'm not sure. Prabhu, what I felt is that if you're in a managerial position, and I like to give the example of Ambarish Maharaj, expert manager, I think if you're in a managerial position, it means we have to take extra shelter. Which means we have to take additional, more and more shelter. Like it is described in the life of Ambarish Maharaj, expert administrator, but he was always surrounded by devotees who were chanting Bhagavatam and chanting the glories of the Lord. The situation we face because of limitation of time, because of our responsibilities, we are able to give less and less time to Bhagavatam because our responsibilities increase. But like Prabhupada said, he said once, somebody was sleeping and they said they did not. Prabhupada said, sleep less, but chant your rounds. So for managers, we have to do everything else less, but increase Bhagavatam because we need the shelter of Bhagavatam even much, much more because the problems we'll encounter will be immense. So that's the only response I have to take. If you're spending 1 year and normally, if you're doing management, you have to spend 8 hours. Sorry, 1 hour. If doing management, you have to spend 8 hours of studying Bhagavatam. Just to make sure we're taking the right direction. Well, I like to... It's 9 o'clock. So we will stop as soon as you chant the shloka. Please, and after that, we will close.
Quality of a demigod have developed within his body. That means
Very beautifully explained. And on that note, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.